Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." But the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give you angels, his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, the Lord shall not, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again the devil take him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said to him, "All these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leave him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James and the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee his father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick, that were people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed of devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Now let's go back and see what we're really into. We know how he ended the last chapter. He was saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Who was speaking there? It was God the Father speaking. And now it tells about how Jesus is prepared from his baptism, how he is prepared, the things that he has to go through before he is ready to go preach. Hello? Do you hear what I'm saying? This is from where he came, and this is when the Spirit of God was placed upon him. The anointing was placed within him, or was upon him. And guess what? Now begins what? The learning process, the separations, the testings, the trials, all these things have got to take place now once the Spirit has come upon us. And in the church realm today, once the Holy Spirit's come upon you, we have attained. We're there. Wrong. Now you've got your credentials to be tested. If most people knew that, they wouldn't be saying, "Oh, I want this." Because now you're stepping up with responsibility. You're going to be tested. The Spirit's not there for any reason. No reason, is it? Now there's a purpose in your life. And Jesus was led up by the Spirit, not of the Spirit, but by the Spirit, into the wilderness, into the lonesome desert. Guess what? It ain't easy walking out here. If there's anything easy about it, the multitudes would be here, because they're always seeking the path of least resistance, aren't they? This is not an easy walk for immature people. It's very difficult. It's difficult for anyone coming through this route. Nothing easy about it. But he was led by the Spirit into this wilderness, this lonesome desert, into the wilderness to be what? The word tempted is not really correct. It's really, like Lois just stated, it's tested or disciplined. See, we're sent into this position. Now, how many people want to go to the desert? Zero. Nobody volunteers for it, do they? See, they're trying, and especially when you just get started, when some church has grabbed you and said, ask Jesus to forgive you and then you'll be okay. They don't understand. There's nobody looking for problems, are they? What's everybody looking for? A safe haven, a comfort, you know, someplace to get in and out of the storm. They don't want to go into the storm. And this is what the teaching that he's telling us here is. This isn't about getting out of anything. This is about hitting it face to face and dealing with every situation that comes our way. Does that make sense? You'll never be changed by running from your problems. Best thing to do is face them. Correct? And that's what he's telling you. You've got to stand up and take this. How are you going to minister to the world if you can't take care of your own backyard? Is it possible? But see, that's what the ministries are doing today. That's why you're finding ministries in pornography. You're finding them in drugs and all kinds of dishonest ways of dealing business, right? You're finding all these things going on in ministries because they've not had their character tested and disciplined by the Spirit of God in this desert walk. And see, we don't have to go to a place where there's a bunch of sand and cactuses and scorpions and tarantulas and snakes to be tested. The desert's right where you're sitting right today. It's in your life today. And he can separate you in a crowd of thousands of people. And he was there to be tempted by who? This devil right here is the word diabolos. It's 1228 in the Greek dictionary, Strong's dictionary, and it means the slanderer or the false accuser. Now, he took you there to be tested by the false accuser. As soon as you get in a position of something bad going on, what goes off in your head? All kinds of strange thoughts. All kinds of foreign, evil, wicked thoughts. And didn't Jesus say, out of the heart of man, the thinking process perceives all evils? Didn't Jeremiah say, the heart of man is desperately wicked and evil above all things? He didn't say some things, he said all. So it comes out of our thinking process when we're putting a problem into these tests for discipline. Now, you know who you really are. Like this picture we got over on the wall. It says, character is who you are when no one's watching but God. But see, when there's no one there but you, by yourself, and you're tested, now you'll find out who you really are. See, because we say, well, I could cheat a little bit here, no one will know. No. See, you'll find out who you really are when you can be put in the test and how you react to that test. Now, if I come to you and said, Mike, I'm going to put you in a test tomorrow, 8 o'clock, be here sharp, 8 o'clock, I'm going to put you in a test. We'll find out who you are. Okay? Do you think that's really a test for Mike? Because you're prepared for tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, I'll put on my best behavior, put on my little cap, my little badges, and I'm a good Christian man. Here I am, right? But now you're driving on the road on the way home and somebody cuts right in front of you, cuts you off, runs you off the road, flips you off, and cusses at you all the way out of sight, and you're cussing and flipping him off back. There was a test. How did you fare in it? Right? How do you react to every situation that God gives you? That's your opportunity to show the world Christ in you. You hear what I'm saying? Not Christ in you, the hope of glory, but Christ in you. Period. Right now, today. Show me in your experience, how do I react to that situation that comes up? Do you hear what I'm saying? This isn't about someday we're going to get tested to sleep by and by. Not we're going to be called out of the grave so we can be tested and if you're not good enough, I'll throw you back in the fire. That's not true. The test is right now in your life. For sons and daughters of God, it's right now today. But if you don't believe you're a son and daughter of God, guess what? It's not for you, is it? This is for sons and daughters. Because I'm sure Jesus was the Son, wasn't he? I got to wipe my glasses off. Can't see. So we've got to go under this false accuser. Now, in Isaiah, it said he created the waster to destroy. Why do you think he created this thing called the false accuser or the accuser? To destroy the ego of man, the thinking process of man. In 1 John, it says that he that's born of the devil cannot sin. Right? Why? Because when he's truly born of God, what happened to the other man? He just wasn't, was he? He's gone. So we have to realize that this test has come for this right here. Oh, I know, he said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy. No, take out the might. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he do what? Destroy the works of the devil. Now see, he's not going to take your brain and break all the cells in your brain and squish them. What he's going to do is push out the stuff that's not supposed to be here, like in the production of the wine. The grapes go in, the wine goes out, the flesh gets stuck in the trap, doesn't it? And it gets discarded. The same thing. He's trying to remove, in your processing, he's removing the things that are not supposed to be there. That's all it is. He's removing the thinking that's not supposed to be there. The natural cherubim thing. Okay? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. You think? You think he wasn't hungry? There's not very many of us that could do that. A 40-day, 40-night fast is something called of God. Yeah, that's different. Mm-hmm. Yep. So you can imagine what 40 days was in a searing hot desert. There's no food and water. That'd be tough. And when the tempter, and see, now what does 40 represent? What? Okay. Well, there's a completeness in there by the four. It's a completeness of the testing. See, when you can go through 40, you've completed your probation, you've completed your testing period, you've proven yourself. If you can deny yourself through this period, and see, 40 is not a literal number. God uses things all symbolic, doesn't he? And whatever test God puts you in to bring you through that completion, that's okay, right? But he was hungry. And when the tempter approached him, he said, if you be the Son of God, command or speak. The word command is there. It says speak. Speak that these stones become, not be made, but become raised bread. Artos. Make these stones become the living word. See, it's because it's the raised bread, the artos. It's not the azumoth. The artos. Okay? But he answered and said, it is written, humanity, anthropos, humanity shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What's the first thing the carnal mind goes to? Natural self. What was he wanting? Food. Tell me that natural mind wasn't saying, hey, look, okay, you got Kether, man. Let's get some bread in here. Don't you think that mind was going wild after 40 days of not eating? Mm-hmm. Well, it was trying to satisfy itself now with some kind of food. He was hungry. He had to have some kind of nourishment back into his body. But yet Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus was separating the natural from the spiritual. He said the natural man needs food. And he was identifying himself with the spiritual. He said, I need the bread of life. I need the word of God more than I need the bread that satisfies the body. That was the testing that's brought forth. That's what this test in our life is. That's the first test you'll go through. Is it more important to feed your natural desires and appetites or your spirit? Correct? That's the biggest test that you come through. If you can't get by this test, guess where? You ain't going to none of the other tests. If you don't do this one, how can you go to that one? He set his priorities from the word go. I am a spiritual man, and I need spiritual food more than I need the natural food of this earth. See? And if I can't get by that one, what am I going to get by? How am I going to get the other one? One step at a time. If I can't handle this first test that's placed upon me by God, how am I going to go to the next one? Because it's all about self. It's all about identifying that I am soulish or I am spiritual. Something like you might say, revealing your identity. See, that's what this test is about. What is the most important thing to you? I ain't worried about what my mind tells you. You might die in that desert. So be it. If you're a son of God, what's the concern? Because the wisest man that ever walked this earth said, when we die, the dust returns to the earth and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So I'm going back to my Father. What's so bad? He was well pleased. Didn't you think a father sent him out here just to kill us? I don't think so. He didn't bring you this far out into the desert just to let you die for no reason, no purpose. He didn't bring you out here to make you buzzard bait, did he? He brought you out here with a purpose. So he knew the difference, didn't he? And he knew that he needed that word of God to sustain his very spirit. Now, one question comes out when I read this verse. Whose mouth do I possess? Because you live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Whose mouth do I possess? Whose mouth is this? I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. What about you? If you don't believe you were, you'll be speaking from the soulish realm. And that's why he was so adamant about this being the first test. That's why it's set up as the first test. I have to know who I am. Because every decision I make, if I don't get it clear in my understanding from right now that my being is not Adam, my being is Christ. If I don't get that settled in my thinking process, every other test I go to will be answered from the same Adamic way that I would this one. If I don't get it settled right now, I'm going to end up the same way in every test, going back in my carnal thinking to get the answer, letting my cherubim deal with my emotions and everything and run out and make my decisions for me. That's not God's way. He said, it's written. Can his word ever be disannulled? No. So guess what? I got to get that foundation right. This is a foundational test. Who are you? That's all it is. Am I going to be obedient or not? Am I going to let my emotions and my soulish desires override what God has asked me to do? Absolutely. That's right. I believe because of what God has said in his patterns throughout the Word. He says this. He says, there's a pattern that you should follow. You don't have to follow. I'm not going to make you follow it. But Jesus didn't say, follow me or else, did he? But I believe if you follow the ones that God has set up to be the leadership, not what man has voted on or hired, you know, no hireling, but the ones who God has set up, I think your life can be a lot easier. See? Why would he say, follow me, if it wasn't going to be easier? See, if I've walked through and made a lot of mistakes in my growth process, which I have, if I have learned from that, that's okay. But now, someone coming behind me could walk through and say, you made a mistake once, we're not going to pay attention to anything you said. See, they don't know anything, do they? But here's the thing. If I know that I can follow someone and they're walking, their life has proved something to me, that I can see in their life God is running their life, I'd be a fool not to follow that person. Not blindly, but still watch at all times. Always watch. You see what I'm saying? If that person gets off base, address it. Okay. But if I choose not to follow that person and do it all on my own, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to have a lot of hard knocks I wouldn't have to go through. Eleanor Roosevelt said it beautifully. Learn from other people's mistakes because you can't live long enough to make them all yourself. See? That's what he's trying to teach us in this. That's why his book's written. He could have set you out here and said, just go find it on your own. But he gave us a book with directions on how to do it if we'll pay attention. And the scripture does say this too. Mark them who follow Christ and do what? Follow them. Paul even said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say blindly follow me. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. That means if he goes away from Christ, don't follow him. Pure and simple. Okay? And then the devil The devil. Okay? Who is this devil? Okay, this is that word diabolos again. Okay? The false accuser took him up into the holy city. Now, where do you think the holy city is? Didn't it say the New Jerusalem? Where he dwells is within you. It's a spiritual city within you. Okay? So, he took him up in his mind into this religious realm, into his mind, this spiritual realm. And he says to him, it sets him on a pinnacle of the temple. Now, what word is that temple? Okay, the word is Hieron, which is literal. Okay? The word is Hieron. He took him up into a literal temple. He's taking him up into the natural view of a building. Okay? That's not a spiritual view of who you are, is it? He took him into the natural realm, into this word Hieron, not Naos, which is a spiritual temple. Sure it will. And he said to him, if you be the Son of God. In that statement, if you be the Son of God, okay? He is asking this twice now, hasn't he? What is he saying in this statement, if you be the Son of God? He's making him doubt. If you be the Son. He's not saying, you're the Son of God, what are you going to do? He said, if you be the Son. He's doubting, and he's putting doubt in your mind. So what does this thing do in your mind? Starts making you think the negative way, putting doubt, question, is this real or not? Okay, if you get this accusing in your head, you know how many people are condemned by it? Nearly everybody. Now, was Jesus condemned by it? If you don't know Scripture, how are you going to quote it? See, we're to be living epistles read of all men. Our life should be a statement to everything we're accused of, shouldn't it? Should be a statement of our lifestyle. But you've got to realize these things are going to come in your life every day, regardless. There's going to be accusations come against you. How are you going to deal with them? I'm not talking about running here spouting verses off in the King James language. That's not what I'm talking about. It's by a communication with my Father in the Spirit. And when I know the truth, can I really be accused to any effect? If you know you're a Son of God, can you be doubt? Can anybody bring doubt to your mind? Can anybody make you believe that your natural father isn't your father? No. I know my father. Yeah. They got DNA tests to prove it now. But I cannot be shaken in my understanding of who I am as a Son of God. Because my pattern fits his pattern. His pattern and my pattern fit together. I might have some rough edges, but I'm in the pattern. See, he's still scraping off some of that stuff, but I'm in the pattern. But he was bringing doubt. He says, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, because it's written, he shall give his messengers charge concerning you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you will dash thy foot. Now, what's he really saying? He's trying to cause you to fall. He said, you ain't going to fall. He took it this way. He took it literal. And see, the natural mind can only take one thing one way. Sure, it's the carnal mind, the false accuser, the carnal mind saying, hey, he said his angels have got charge of you, so you can't even dash your little foot against a stone. So go ahead and throw yourself off here and just see what happens. He's causing you to doubt God and to tempt God or test God. True? That's self again. And self, the ego of man has not been dealt with yet, if you can take bite into these things. And Jesus said to him, this is his response, it is written. Jesus said to him again, he should say, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. If God told you something, does God have to prove it to you? You don't have to. Well, that was enough to shut him up, wasn't it? He took another route. And again the devil, the false accuser, the diabolos, took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the cosmos and the glory of them. This word cosmos is a unique word. It says the orderly arrangement. What arrangement do you think that is? It's the orderly arrangement in your own carnal, natural mind. He said, let me show you what's in here in this place. Let me show you what I got inside of me. Let me show you what you've got inside of you. Let me show you how great you can be to yourself. You can be the great I am. See? The great I. Because your mind will tell you that, whether it's true or not. And it's not true to start with. But he'll tell you how great you are. But it won't work. It's all about self. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Wonder who me is. Self. I just want you to worship humanity. Don't worry about this spirit in you. Just worship humanity. Worship your emotions. Worship your desires. Just do what feels good to you. Don't worry about anybody else. You're the only one that means anything in the whole world. The ego of man. That's what's being dealt with in this temptation. I, me, my, or mine. It's the ego world. And that's what Jesus had to go through. See, it's not about the 40 days. It's not about an actual literal 40 days. It's a coming to a place in you where you no longer see you as the center of the universe. It's not the world according to Mike, is it? It's about Christ. See? It's not the world according to Bob or Ed or anybody else or Lloyd or Lois or Claudia. It's not any of these things. It's about God being the center of your universe. Until I come to that place, do you think I can ever become a minister of God? It's not going to happen. I can play the game, but I can't truly be a minister of God until I realize I am not the center of the universe. Not even close to it. Not I that lives, but the Christ that lives within us, right? And Jesus said to him, not get thee hence. He said, depart, accuser. Now, you know what's funny? He's been called Diabolos all the way down to here. Right? And now he says, get behind me, Satan. Get out of here, Satan. Leave me alone, Satan. He did not say Diabolos, he said Satanus. He identified it's one and the same, didn't he? So the names are synonymous with each other, but not devil. The word devil is rendered out of both words, but they are synonymous. It's talking about that thing up here. The slanderer or the false accuser. Okay? And behold, messengers came and ministered to him. You know what it sounds like there? He just passed his final exam. Hello? He just passed his final exam because God sent some help. Sure it is. He just done took control of it. He found out his true what? Identity. When you find out your true identity, it wasn't over, because I'll read another verse here and show you that in a minute. But he said, he departed, right? And he sent messengers from God to minister to him. And the accuser left him, and behold, the messengers of God came and ministered to him. Now, in one of the versions, in one of the other chapters, other gospels, it says, he departed him for a season. So it was a time when God ministered to him and brought his strength back up to full power. And guess what? That mean that carnal thing never come back and accused him again? He just left for a season. And when it was over with, he came back to take those same punishments, those same tests, same trials again and again and again. Okay. So don't think that our life, we're going to come to a place, a plateau, where we say, okay, now we can put it on cruise because we've already attained. So what? I'm going to prove to myself day after day after day after day after weeks and months and years that every day I got to prove to myself when I get up in the morning, just like this morning, I'm a child of God and I cannot fail. I can make mistakes. I can stumble. I can fall. But a righteous man will fall seven times and God will pick him back up. You see what I'm saying? The falling is okay because it's going to give me better balance in the kingdom of God. I'm not going out looking for something to do so I can say, what can I do today so I can fall and get stronger? No, no, no. There's going to be things that come along and get you anyway. But I'm not going to be in condemnation or guilt whenever I make a mistake. I made a mistake, and I'll be man enough to admit I made a mistake. But that's not going to take me out of the kingdom of God. How many times did David have mistakes in his life? Every day. It was put there for that very purpose, so you can see the pattern of your life. That's supposed to be you. Don't worry about the name. It's your name. And when you see that, you can say, yep, did the same thing David did. That's stupid. I shouldn't do that no more. See, catch on. Think about it. You've got to put these things together so you can get through here and quit carrying this condemnation and guilt. Okay. Now we see a big context change. That means he passed the test. He didn't have no makeup test. Okay? Now when Jesus had heard that John was in prison, he departed to Galilee, or returned, it should say, to Galilee. He didn't depart Galilee. He returned there because where was he from? Galilee. Okay. And Galilee is the heathen circle. So Jesus don't have any problem with heathens. It's just religious folk that has a problem with heathens. I had an experience this week. I met a homeless guy over in town. And I mean literally a homeless guy. Alcoholic, been running around town drunk for years. But he's gotten straight for the last 3 months or so. And we began to talk. And there was two other gentlemen in this place where I was at that's there pretty regular. And one of them kind of accepts this guy and tries to help him. And this other guy used to be a drunk himself. And he just literally despises that man even coming near us. And we try to do things to help this guy, and this other guy, he won't even talk to me now because I'm talking to the homeless guy. I'm better off without him talking to me, because this is religion anyway, you know. But these people get this idea that they're better than somebody else. Jesus hung out with the drunks and everything, and yet this man sees himself as superior to that man. He don't even want him to come into the room where he's at. He leaves. And yet he says, I'm a good Christian man, and I'm going to heaven, and he can go to hell. Somebody's got a bad view of something there. That's what's wrong with the church world. You need to find out it's not like that. God's not that way in his thinking. Anyway, he went back to Galilee, and he left Nazareth. Does anybody know what that word means? It's where his nativity was, but what's the word mean? The separated or the guarded one. He was the guarded one. Wasn't he guarded? He was protected even when they were trying to kill him. He's been protected just as we are. See, if we're sons of God, we're protected the same way. We're not going to die before our time. It's going to be his timing. And he came to Capernaum. That's the village of comfort, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun. That's the place of habitation. And Nephthalim, which is my wrestling. So between the place of the village of comfort, there's a habitation, and there's a place called my wrestling. All those things are experiences that we're going to walk into. At times, we're going to be in those places. That it be fulfilled, and take that word might out there, because that's an added word. And God, there's so many times the King James language puts this might in there. It's not there. Why would he go through all this to maybe do something? He did it to do something. It was an absolute purpose behind everything he did, wasn't there? Absolutely. The accuser wanted to put the doubt in your mind. So cross out that word might, because it's not about might. He did it that you would have life, not that you might have it. so that it be fulfilled, which was spoken by or through Isaiah the prophet. Okay? What's Isaiah mean? God's help or God's helper. Through Isaiah, God's helper. Saying, the land of Zebulun, the habitation, and the land of Nephthalim, my wrestling. And what happened to Jacob? Did he wrestle some of that in God's land? By the sea, on the other side of Jordan, on the other side of death, Galilee of the Gentiles. And on the other side of death, you know, on one side of death, there's a place called Galilee, the heathen circle, right? of the Gentiles. The Gentiles were on one side and the others were on the other side. And the people which sat in darkness, who's he talking about? The ignorant. The darkness and ignorance. He said, the one sitting in ignorance saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. He said they were in the region and they saw this great light. They were in the heathen circle. They saw a great light and the shadow of death. Okay? He said all this, they saw that in this region of ignorance, there was a shadow of death. How do you have a shadow? You've got to have some light. Is that correct? There's got to be some light. And see, that's the ignorance that God protected us while we were in from Genesis chapter 1. He protected those ones, those minds of humanity while they were in ignorance, didn't he? So now this is what he's talking about. It's fulfilled. And the ones that saw that shadow of death, see, if I see a shadow of death, it's only because there's a little bit of light in me. There's a little bit of light in you when you can see a shadow of death. No longer is death a reality, but it's just a shadow. There's some life coming to you, isn't there? There's a hope. See, there's a hope in there. And the light is sprung. It should say the light arose. Just like the day star rises in your heart. The Christ coming up in your life. Okay? And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. Reconsider. Think differently. Correct? Don't think the way you used to think. The light has come up. What should you do now? Forget about the shadow of death. The light has removed the shadows. When the light has arisen, where's the shadow at? There's only one place for a shadow at high noon. No, where is it? It's under my feet. Now it's become a footstool for me. Those shadows of death are nothing more than a footstool. In Isaiah, it says the noonday shadows. It speaks of the noonday shadows. The only noonday shadow you've got is underneath your feet. That means you have overcome them, doesn't it? There's a success. There's a victory in this thing. It's not about just sitting back waiting to die. It's not about being couch potatoes, but it's only responding to what God has spoken into our lives, not listening to someone else telling you how to live your life. It's encouraging other people. You can make it. I've made it. You can make it. Don't listen to somebody like a little baby bird sitting in a nest and someone come along dropping worms in your mouth. I don't need that. You don't need that. You've got a mind and you can use it. I'm telling you, you can use the mind God gave you. But again, to say, repent, because the rule and realm of the Spirit is approaching. It's approaching. You know why? Because it was walking in Him. He can say it's approaching because you know what he was doing? He was approaching them. He said, I'm bringing you life. Didn't he say, I am the light that lights every man that comes into the world? I am the life. I am the truth. I am the way. Didn't he say those things? So we got to realize, hey, this is life coming to you. And it's coming right now. It's not something you have to wait until you die and fly and hope somebody brings you back up. There ain't no hoping that for me. If I'm up, I want to stay up. Do you hear that? He's alive forevermore. Is he dead? Then what do I need a resurrection for? When he arose according to the scriptures, I arose in him. Now what the book said? Then why do I worry about death? Come on, we got to forget about death and worry about, don't worry, just focus upon the life you have. Okay? Change the way you think. Think differently. Because life is now standing before you. It's the mind of Christ, absolutely. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, humanity of heathens, saw two brothers, Simon, which means hearing, and Peter was a piece of the rock, and Andrew, his brother, means manly, casting a net into the sea, into humanity, for they were not fishers but fishermen. Okay. They were hunting. You know how many church folks casting nets everywhere? They're throwing them on dry ground. They're throwing them up in trees. They're throwing them everywhere. You think they've never been fishing before. But you know what? If you'll sit and wait upon God, you won't throw your net anywhere and everywhere. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, right? Wait upon Him. Don't get in a hurry just because somebody said, hey, if you don't get out there and do it, they're all going to go to hell. That's guilt and condemnation. God don't work that way. God gives a command, we respond. If I don't hear God tell me to do something, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to go ahead and enjoy whatever I want to do. But whenever he says something, whatever I'm doing is dropped like a hot potato and just go do what he tells me. When I get my job done, then I can relax and do the things I want to do. Right? That's the way it works in the kingdom of God. You do what the king says. But he saw these brothers, Peter and Andrew, and they were fishermen. And there was this little thing I used to read. I got it in my office somewhere, and I was thinking about bringing it up there, and I forgot about it. But it says, you know, what about this fisherman? What about this fisherman thing? What about fishing? What do we know about fishing? Fishermen have to get up early, have to do a lot of work in preparing to go fishing. You don't believe it, try it sometime. I don't talk about just go buy a bucket of worms and go out and sit on the bank somewhere and throw it. You want to catch fish, you got to do some work. Yep, for livelihood or even just, well, for the pleasure today, the pleasure of fishing and catch the fish to eat. If you're going to have a fish fry, somebody got to catch them. The hardest part of skinning that fish is catching it. See, if you ain't catching it, then you can't skin them. So they've got to go get the bait. They've got to get all their things ready, get all their equipment ready. They've got to load the boat, tow the boat, unload the boat, prepare everything, make sure the batteries are up, the motor's up, the gas is up, the oil's up, all these things just to get into the water. Now they got to get all their baits tied on and survey the situation. They got to do all these things. They got to look for years of experience. They got to go back in their mind and say, which one's going to work where today? What about the moon phases? What about the wind? What about the water clarity, the temperatures, the depth? All these things are all variables in this. And when they get done, they got to fight through bugs, snakes, wind, rain, heat, sweat, smog, every kind of condition you can think of. And they got to make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of casts a day and maybe never catch a fish. But do they give up? If they're a true fisherman, do they give up? When the sun comes down, they're still casting. They're going to make every last effort right down to the dying ray of the sun in the evening going behind the hill. They're going to go all the way. And when they get done, have they give up? No, we didn't make it today. We'll try again tomorrow. As long as there's breath in us, we're going to continue. So when he says, I'll make you fishers of men, I just wonder what he was going to do to make you a fisher of men. How hard are you going to have to try? How much preparation have you got to put into this thing? How much of your life are you going to put into this effort of fishing for men? Is it going to church on Sunday morning? How about Sunday and Sunday night? What about Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday? I don't care if you go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It don't make no difference. Because if you ain't put more effort in it than walking into a building and sitting down, listening to somebody chirp and bark at you, you haven't done anything. You've got to work out your own deliverance, your own salvation. You've got to do something. You've got to dig in this and find out what's right in your life. You've got to hear the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. And the voice of another they'll not follow. See, what's wrong is too many people following their own voice. And that's why we have 25 to 30,000 denominations worldwide. And every one of them saying, I'm right. See, because they've never went through the tests of this chapter. They've never went through those testings to bring them to maturity. They don't know what their identity is. They're still hoping someday they can fly. They don't have any idea about what their character is right now. Because God is, and the kingdom is. It's not something that's going to be done. It's not something that's going to come about. It's not something that's going to be built. It is already a finished, done deal. The last thing he said on the cross is what? It's finished. If we don't believe that, we don't believe anything. It's done. And he said to them, follow. Literally says, come, follow, in the language. Two words, I think, there. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of humanity. And they immediately left their nets and accompanied him. They went with him. Wherever he goes, I'm going. And going on from there, he saw another two brethren, James, literally Jacob, the son of Zebedee, which means my gift, and which is God is a gracious giver, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Now, Peter was the fisherman. What was John's chore? He was mending nets. He was the net mender. Never said he was a fisherman. He said, you come in, I'll make you a fisherman. But see, all these disciples all did something naturally, and in those natural experiences, God used it into the spiritual to use them for that very same thing. Peter was a fisherman. He became a fisher of men. John was a net mender. He became one to come back and make corrections when the gospel was getting out of line in their era, right in their day. Paul was a tent maker, and Paul went around and set up churches. Natural, spiritual, same thing. God doesn't change what He's made you to be. He changes the direction of your thinking process, so it's no longer carnal but now, and physical, but now it's spiritual. That's all God's doing. He's just changing your view from what you see carnal. He makes it spiritual, and now you can do the same thing you've been trained to do and set up to do from the beginning. Sure. Anybody that can fish in those seas and fight those waves and conditions to live constantly has to be somebody with some discipline in their life. So now they've already got some discipline. Now let's work with it. And going on from there, we got that. Okay. And he called them. Notice this. Everyone that for a disciple, did any of them come up and say, can I be your disciple? Is there any place in Scripture where anybody ran up to Jesus and said, Jesus, can I be your disciple? Can I do what you do? Is there anyone doing that? See, that's what the church world is doing today. Hey, I want to be that. I want to be that preacher up there making so many millions of dollars. No, have you got any character? Well, who cares about that, man? I want the money. See, everybody's concerned with being important and being in front of somebody, but where is the character? Where's the testings? And see, without going through that, you don't even have enough understanding to choose anybody to work with you. Yeah, you talk about those things behind the doors. But he called them, not a volunteer army. And they immediately left the ship, and that's the system of humanity, and their father, and followed him or accompanied him. Now, the first thing they did when Jesus called them was do what? Left the ship, just like Abraham did. He said, Abraham, get out of your father's house, leave your country and your kindred. And that's exactly what I see here. He called them, they bailed out of the ship. That's the system. That's the country and kindred there. And they left their father's house. I mean, it's the same pattern. We got to do the same thing. I know Bob was telling me this week something about your mother was wanting you to do certain things, and you said, I can't do them. Right? See, that's making that decision. I got to think for myself, my mother, my father, my brothers, my sister, they can't do it for me, can they? You got to think for yourself. And that's no disrespect to your mother, is it? You just can't do what she wants you to do because you know in yourself what you got to do, don't you? See, you got to know in yourself. That's what this is all about, knowing in yourself what you got to do, and you can't follow somebody else's drum. You got to have your own drum. That's being pushed into the wilderness for sure. The test will begin. Okay, and Jesus went about all of Galilee, went through all the heathen, teaching in their synagogues. And you see, he didn't do some of them, he did all of them. I'd call that reconciliation. I don't know what you'd call it. Teaching in their synagogues. And see, he went into the heathens, to the heathen circles, and teached in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now look, he went into these heathen people and preached the message, the good message of reconciliation. No, you can do that to the heathen. The heathen will hear. That's the pattern. How long did it take Paul before he said, hey, the heck with you religious guys. If you want to live in your pews, you go ahead. I'm going to the Gentiles. Didn't he say it? You go ahead and stay here if you want to, but God's got some people out here that want to hear it, and I'm going to take it to them. It's the same thing going on right here. So Jesus went into their synagogue and preached the good news, the message of reconciliation of the kingdom. And this word kingdom again is basileia. So he taught the message of the rule and realm of God. Well, in the rule and realm of God, there's a reconciliation of what? All. Kind of like Jubilee of the Old Testament, right? Everything will be restored to its rightful place because God's in control of all things. This is beautiful. And his fame went out through all of Syria. Assyria, representing what? It's exalted. Assyria is exalted. I know Assyrians sometimes can speak of it as two people, just, you know, but here it means exalted. That's the prideful. And all them brought to him sick and that were possessed, and that's physically or morally, oppressed with various what? Moral disabilities. And what? They were possessed with these things and torments. The word torments here is baganos, which is the touchstone. Okay. What is a touchstone? It's a test. They were all possessed and having problems with the test. Well, you know what? We all have trouble with the test. How many people enjoy going through the test? If you say yes, I'm going to call you a liar. Rightfully so, because I don't like tests any better than anybody else. But what I do is this. I love the result of the test. I don't like pain and suffering, whether it's mental or physical. But I do know this. It will bring a change in your life. You don't believe me? I can take a sharp object and stick you in the rear end. I guarantee you'll change your attitude real quick. You won't like what it does, but it will change where you're at, won't it? You will move. When the fire gets hot enough, you'll move back from it. It'll change you some way or another. And those that were possessed with devils. Now, I know some people here want to think there's literally demons and devils. But I'm going to tell you something. If the devil is your carnal mind, then what would the demons be? Just messengers from this mind. The thoughts are those demons that you're sending out. It's just the thoughts from your mind. That's all it is. And those that were lunatic. You know what that word lunatic means? If you look it up in the dictionary, it means moonstruck. Affected by the moon. Guess what? The moon represents the female side. Go back to Genesis again. Genesis being the seedbed. And guess what the word moon represents in there? Joseph, remember Joseph's dream? Shall I and your mother and your 11 brothers fall down and worship you? The mother was the moon. The soulish side. That they were possessed, they were lunatic, they were dealt with by the soulish side. Their soulish emotions were controlling. And those that had palsy, those that are paralyzed or disabled. Good God, how many people do we know that's disabled by emotions? I mean, they can't do anything, they just fall apart. They can't go anywhere because they're so distraught about something might happen. You know what I mean? They're just totally disabled because I know people, literally, I got a sister that's that way. She can only go and travel certain directions. I know a lot of people like that. They can only go someplace where they've been before. They can't go anywhere new. And if they can't, in their physical life, can't drive down a street they haven't been down before, how in God's name could they ever open their mind up and go down the highway that God has for them that they've never walked before? It's an impossibility. If they can't overcome the natural, how are they going to overcome the spiritual? The real stuff. It's impossible. And there followed him great multitudes of people from where? From Galilee. From the heathen circle. Great numbers of multitudes. And from Decapolis. What does Decapolis mean? It's 10 cities. It's also speaking about that hill. It's speaking about 10 cities. Speaking of the what? 10. The law. So the ones under the law, the ones from the heathen circle, and from Jerusalem, duality, and from Judea, the ones from praise and celebration, and from beyond death. You know what that all totals up to me? Reconciliation. Honey, they're all going to follow him. Whether they like it or not, he covered everything there. How many did he mention? 5 of them. He mentioned all 5. He covered 5, and 5 is grace. His grace is sufficient unto you and to everyone else on the face of the earth. And people think that's just those words we read before. And there's a whole lot more than what I've told you today. But I could spend the rest of the day and the rest of the week in this same chapter. We could sit and discuss and get into these other avenues of this thing. See, that's not my job. My job is to open it up where you can say, hey, this is a roadmap. I can see it. And now it's your choice. It's your decision to make. Are you going to follow the roadmap, or are you going to continue to sit where you're at? And I'm not just talking to people in this room. I'm talking about people all over the world that's listening to what I'm saying today, that gets these tapes and listens to these things. This is for everybody. Are you going to sit in it, or are you going to get up and go on with it? You got the map. Okay? I'm done. Anybody got any questions or comments?